The Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, pleased to be joined by ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Louis, thank you so much for your time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you so much. So, you were one of Cam Ward's biggest supporters in the lead-up to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
You also said Ward reminds you of Patrick Mahomes in some aspects, which turned a lot of heads around here when you make that comparison. What specifically reminds you of Mahomes when you watch Cam Ward?
Well, it was two things. You know, one, his playing personality reminds me of Patrick, being that look, Cam has a very short memory. He's super confident in his ability to make every throw. And even when he wasn't successful in making the throws that he wanted to make, it didn't deter him from continuing to fire and continuing to, you know, push the limits of what he is capable of doing. And that's unique. Some people get gun shy. Some people, when they have some adversity, they don't maintain that same style, that same attitude, that same football character, so to speak. And that doesn't faze Cam. From a stylistic perspective, you see, and I'm going to work backwards, but you see Cam's ability to throw the football off platform, different arm angles, throw it like a baseball player. And when you combine that with the very short memory, that's just what has made Patrick great. That's what has made him someone who you never count him out. You never feel as though there's a throw that can't be made, that a situation that can't be overcome, you know, minus getting his head knocked in because his offensive line can't pass protect, which we saw, you know, no quarterback can overcome. Now, when you work backwards from that, see, the thing is that that's not all who Patrick is, obviously. You know, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson before him, all the people that have tutored him in Kansas City were all, they're all fundamentalists as far as footwork, eyes, progressions, ball placement, taking care of the football, throw the football away when need be. A punt isn't a bad thing, but make defenses defend every blade of grass. Those are all the things that Cam was taught down in Miami, the kind of things that began when he was at Washington State and Incarnate Word. So he has a nice fundamental base underneath him, but he also has the ability to do the kind of things that every scout, every coach can't coach. And that's that ability to make the kind of plays where you just sit there on the sideline, cross your arms and go, damn, that was sweet. And as a fan, you sit there and go, where did that come from? So he has that unique quality. So people kind of got a little up in arms and got a little, you know, beside themselves about the fact that I said, look, he's just going to come into the league being Pat. That's not what I was saying. But stylistically, you can't deny that he has those characteristics. His own GM, Mike Borgonzi, who was in Kansas City with my guy Brett Veach for all those years, he said it too. And it's one of the things that has drawn him to, one of the things that drew him to him. So we'll see if in the end they can build the kind of structure around him that Kansas City had in place for Patrick and has continued to provide Patrick with. Because if you can do that, now you're cooking.
Because our primary focus, Louis, this season will be on the development of Cam Ward, what would you consider a successful rookie season from him? What must you see from him?
Yeah, I think naturally with that question leads to, like, what kind of numbers would you want to see? Look, I'll just say this. I think what you'd want to see is, okay, so natural progression from his college days at Miami, which leads you to make sure that you are playing as on time and in rhythm as you possibly can, so you're not putting yourself in harm's way, so you're not exposing the ball, so you're not, you know, doing some things in the pocket that you were able to get away with in Miami that you're not going to be able to get away with in the pros, and quite honestly, it could get you on the IR list in a hurry if you do some of those things. So you want to see that. You want to see him being able to see the full field. You want to see him distribute the football effectively. You want to see him be great on third downs and be in the top, you know, the top 10, top 15 in the league on third downs. in 2 minute situations, in the fourth quarter when they're behind, all of those metrics, all those areas that really you judge quarterbacks truly by, like completion percentage to me without factoring in difficulty of throws and, you know, yards per attempt doesn't mean anything to me. You want to see the advanced metrics be where he's in the top half of the league. And you want to, and because if you can do that, if he can do that, being a rookie, especially with all the new pieces that they're bringing in there, a lot, all the young wide receivers that they brought in, the new wide receiving core, the offensive line has to take shape. Then, no, I mean, again, you're really, really going. You really are. And it's not impossible. We've seen other guys do this. We saw Jaden Daniels do it. You know, we saw C.J. Stroud do it. You can hit the ground running and have people going, damn, I didn't expect that. Now, that may be unfair expectation, but he is the number one overall pick. And I do believe he has that kind of talent. So I think to see those kinds of things, to me, would denote a successful season and ultimately for his team to be, you know, fighting for for a 500 plus record.
Lewis Riddick joining us on the program. Lewis, what are your thoughts on Brian Callahan as a head coach? And do you think he is the right coach to maximize Ward's talents and get out of him all of the things that you were just addressing?
From a personality and demeanor perspective, he is one of the most enjoyable people to talk to of all the guys that we've sat and talked to in my time, you know, doing live games and talking to these guys in production meetings as I've ever talked to. Very even keel, very knowledgeable about the process that it takes in order to build a quarterback from the ground up, manage him during the game, stay in tune with him during the game, get him into situations that help him remain comfortable, giving him some leeway to go ahead and, you know, play outside of the box, help him, you know, decipher what he saw coming off the football field so he can make the, you know, appropriate corrections and then go out there and improve. These are all things that, from my experience with him and from talking to people who have been around him, lead me to believe that, yeah, he is the right person. He will be able to get that done. Now, there's just a lot that's going to go into Cam's ultimate success failure. Obviously, Brian's a big part of it, but I don't think there's nothing that I've seen from what I've been exposed to with him or with anybody else has told me about him that would lead me to believe that he is not the guy.
We're talking with Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, and over 20 years of NFL experience via player or in upper management. Now, Lewis, I mean, Brian has been, you know, he's been in a situation where this roster isn't as good as it has been in previous years. The last mm-hmm. couple of years have been bad for them. Mm-hmm. Now, upon taking his job and knowing that he's coming into his second year, it's almost like a lame duck situation, so to speak, with him. So what is it outside of, because a lot of this is about development. And I know when you get into it, the records mean a lot for the people here in the city. But what you want to see is a development. And Borgonzi and Brinker talked about that yesterday. I want to know, you've watched this team. Where are they best situated right now? Is it on offense or defense that's going to help their young quarterback?
Well, I think I'll answer it this way, Derek. I think what I'm hoping is that the offensive line, first and foremost, becomes a point of strength for them, to where, for the sake of Cam's development, it's a football team that can do a little bit of both as far as being able to control the ball on the ground, capture the line of scrimmage, put him in favorable second and third down situations, to where he's not constantly ice skating uphill where it's second and 9, second and 10, second and 11, you know. He can't play on time. He can't get his feet set. He can't go through progressions, because if that is solid, mm-hmm. okay, let's just say they're in the top 12 to 14, 15 on in a metric, you know, like, I don't know, pressure percentage allowed or pass block win rate, whatever advanced metric you want to use, then he has a shot, okay? And that is something that I think, you know, that Mike would be very happy with if he could get that kind of production. And they've invested a lot of resources in the offensive line, and it needs to pan out. they need to develop that. And I think everything from there will roll downhill. And that's probably where my eyes are going immediately with this football team. The same way it went there when we're talking about C.J. Stroud when he came out. We're talking about Jaden when he was in Washington. Because I think if you can get that, everything else will take care of itself. Cam will do his part. He's going to have some hiccups, but he'll do his part. The wide receiver group here will do their part. It really will. And they have built this wide receiver room in a way that really does. I mean, and you know this better than anyone, that it complements one another in terms of you've got different body types, you've got versatile inside outside type guys, you've got catch and run guys, you've got guys who are big and strong who can fight for the football down the field. You've got youth, you've got experience, so you got a little bit of everything. And so now that's a lot to kind of get to come together. But I think if you can just see that trending the right way, I don't think that this has to be a lame duck season for him in any way, shape, or form, regardless of the fact that he wasn't Mike's coach. And I would hope, and this is one of the things that I think about a lot, and it's hard to do this, but I would hope that the current regime does not automatically just look at him and be looking for reasons to fire him so they can just bring in quote unquote their guy. Because whenever you do that kind of stuff, whenever you just kind of automatically in your head have, this ain't my guy, I'm just looking for my guy. See, first of all, you're already kind of like thinking that you're smarter than you probably really are. And you think you have all the answers when you really don't, because nobody really does. Instead of just taking it as it comes and taking it organically and trusting the fact that, look, the people who were there before him and a lot of other people who weren't even associated with Tennessee would tell you that Coach Callahan is a damn good coach, okay? And we all know that success and failure is always on a razor's edge in the NFL, and it isn't just on one thing. There are plenty of things that can screw that up. And a lot of times it's the people up top who think they know every damn thing are the ones who are screwing it up. So just let him, give him the resources, objectively evaluate it, and as if you are seeing progression up front, balance, Cam looks more comfortable, the team is playing a winning style of football, to get to your part about the defense is playing winning football, meaning they're not just getting run through, having, time of possession totally out of whack to where you can't even get your young quarterback on the ball, on the field. They're turning the football over at a reasonable rate. Then I think this should be one of those building development seasons to where you go, okay, we've established the foundation. We brought in a lot of new people in here. Let's see what 2026 brings. The last thing I'll say is like, look, it can happen that way. You know that teams can make quick turnarounds in the NFL because that's the way it's designed. I mean, Washington just did that last year. Now, I know they all came in together, and coach and head coach and general manager were both aligned. Dan Quinn and Adam Peters were aligned together. But it can happen. It can happen.
Now, what do you make of the Will Levis situation? How does a organization pivot? Because you've been in upper management, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you've seen just about every scenario that happens right before a season. Yeah. Typically, you don't get a guy opting to have surgery right before the season. That's something that – or right before camp. That's something that they usually do beforehand and everybody knows. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed like this one came out of the blue, at least to everyone around here that is not a part of the inside. But how do you pivot as an organization when something like that happens?
I think in this case, man, I honestly, Derek, I don't think it's a big deal simply because Cam is there. And the objective analysis of this situation is that, look, Will Levis is not Cam Ward. And honestly, I don't know how this decision-making process went as far as, him having the surgery now. But I think I would venture to say, look, from the time the season ended last year to when they did their off-season evaluations to right up until the point where he decided to have surgery, I would say that pivot has been in place for quite a while. And I know you could say, well, hey, wait a minute. Maybe Will Levis wasn't given a fair shot either. Maybe Will Levis didn't have the kind of situation that any young quarterback could succeed in. Well, maybe not. But I think if you're just comparing them apples to apples as far as prospects are concerned, people always get up in arms about, when you pick one player over another. Look, I like Will Levis. And I know that the previous regime liked Will Levis. I know they thought he had some redeeming qualities. He is not Cam Ward. So I hate the fact that, he's injured. I hate the fact that he wasn't able to, really take advantage of, his situation as a second round quarterback and someone who had opportunities to start and become a solid starter in the NFL. But for me, look, it is what it is, man. You're trying to level up all the time in the league, and Cam is just a better prospect. It's just as simple as that. And how it's come about that he has got this surgery now, or whatever decision, however the timeline worked out, to me, ultimately, once the games kick off, it ain't gonna really matter. It's not gonna really matter, because I think if you watch Cam at Miami, you watch him at Washington State, you watch Will at Kentucky, you watch Will's, his time so far in the NFL, you'll see they're on different levels, dude. They're on totally different levels. So that's their job as a front office. That's their job as an organization, to put the best product out there on the field. And Cam Ward gives them the opportunity to have a better product out there on the field.
Louis Riddick from ESPN is with us. Great analysis. One quick follow-up on Levis, and put a GM hat on, Louis. He goes away for a year, Levis. We recalibrate the expectation level. Hopefully, Cam Ward gains his footing. You would still have Levis under contract for a very inexpensive price. Could you see the two coexisting if both parties were comfortable about accepting the role? Could Levis be a viable backup for the Titans when he comes back in a year?
Yeah, I mean, look, if I'm Will Levis, I'm thinking, look, I was dealt kind of a little bit of a raw deal. Like, I didn't get a chance to be in a situation that totally, maximizes my abilities, and I haven't maximized my abilities. And maybe it's time for me to get a fresh start and find a different situation to where I know, maybe I can compete and compete for playing time. Ain't gonna compete for playing time in Tennessee. So I don't think he would want that situation. If I were him, I wouldn't want that situation. I'd want to go somewhere else. And that's not because I'm, running from the competition. I mean, that just I'm just looking for a fresh start in a new place. I wouldn't want to just already, given the short amount of time I've had in the league, just say, well, you know what? I'm happy. I'm a backup. I'll just be a backup. No, I wouldn't do that. There's enough recent examples of guys who've had to move around a few times in order for them to really find their footing, and something clicks to where, and you sit there and you go, damn, where'd that come from? Like, we didn't expect that. After year one, year two, people had already kind of written their career, their career story, and that it's just too soon to do that. And for Will, it's too soon to do that. I don't believe he'll be as good as Cam can ultimately be if they were both put in the same situation. But if I were him, I'd be looking to move on. Now, we'll see if Tennessee grants him that, if they look at it the same way. That'll be an interesting one, though.
One more for you that I didn't feel like got talked about very much from the national perspective at the time, because the whole Shedeur Sanders phenomenon and when was he going to be picked. But what they said afterward, they clearly fell in love with Cam Ward, and they fell in love pretty early with him. And they decided, no matter what the offers would be coming in for a trade, that if we feel like he's the guy, we're going to take him at number one, despite the fact that a lot of evaluators had him as, I don't know, somewhere the sixth, the eighth best overall prospect in the draft. Maybe not a slam dunk first overall pick. When we heard what the Giants reportedly offered, which would be take the third pick in the draft this year, the Giants' first round pick next year, and then some of the other things thrown in, we had a really good debate on what was the right move. So when you look at that and you're looking at where the Titans roster is right now, how tough a decision would that have been for you?
I would have done the same thing that Mike did, and the powers that be in Tennessee did. And I would have thought about it, obviously, because you always feel as a team builder, you're thinking, look, the more assets I have, the more draft assets, draft capital that I have, the better chances I have of like being able to ultimately maybe build this thing into a super powerhouse. So if I can move down two spots and gain an extra one and some other draft capital and, you know, I don't know, find some other way to kind of address this situation at the quarterback position, whether that be with, if I thought, you know, if there, whether that be with Shador or be with a Jackson Dart or be with a Tyler Shuck or whoever it is, or Dylan Gabriel, whoever it is, although you wouldn't have drafted any of those guys probably that high. There's some temptation for front office people to do that. But, you know, see, the cool thing about football and about the draft and about evaluation is that it is so subjective. It really is. And quarterback evaluation in particular is very subjective. And we've seen that over the years. And one person can look at 5-6 games at a player and be like, you know what, that guy's a surefire franchise quarterback. And other people can look at him and go, he's a backup, maybe. One guy can look at a guy's arm and go, that's great arm strength. Other people go, damn, he can't throw that ball at all. And you know what? You know that, who that leads you to? It leads you to Shador Sanders. You heard the whole range of that on this guy. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you heard people say, well, he doesn't have an NFL caliber arm. And I can pull up 20 throws of him ripping the ball on a rope on the move, plus 25 air yards down the field, fitting it into a box. And people would still go, nah, that's not good enough. It's like, well, what the hell? What are you talking about? It's not good enough. It's right there. What do you mean it's not good enough? And see, personal biases come into it. Personalities come into it. All of that stuff comes into this. And it came into it this year. It just did. Now, getting back to the Cam Ward, the good thing for me is I got a chance to see this guy three times over the past 2 years live and talk to two different staffs about him and go to his pro day. So I got about as much information as scouts got on the guy, okay? And talk to his mom and dad, everybody. I would have taken him. It would have been like, yo, you're going to have to give me all your picks. You're going to have to give me a Mike Ditka-style type draft haul in order for me to move off of this. Because the kid is nothing but, he's all football. He's no nonsense. He's an alpha, no leader. And he's got exquisite physical skills for the quarterback position. Is he Jaden? Is he Lamar in terms of running stop? No. But you know what? He don't need to be. Is he Patrick-esque in terms of the way he can run? Yeah, he is. He can run just enough. And you know what? In the playoffs, how many times have you seen Patrick Mahomes and you're sitting there going, damn, Patrick runs better than I thought. It may not look pretty all the time, but he sure is getting that ball down the field. And that's the same thing with Cam. And see, I just love the guy. I love the no-nonsense guy. Because he is not about all that other crap, man. He is not. And he is not someone who will not be intimidated by anyone, vet or rookie, anyone. And the guys down there, I heard Jeffrey Simmons already talking about it. They're talking and chirping at him from one of the first times they got exposed to him. And he's chirping right back. And Callahan's talking about the fact that he's sitting there thinking, damn, does this guy even hear what I'm saying to him? Because he's over there chirping at these dudes. And he's a rookie. And he's playing quarterback. He's different. So, yeah, I can see why they fell in love with him. And I know down at that pro day, when he made that one big throw where he was rolling left on the sideline, I think Bergonzi and them were standing over there, and he ripped the ball probably about 45, 50 yards in the air. I know, I can picture that moment and them going, that's our dude. If they hadn't already thought that anyway. So, yeah, would you have been tempted? Yeah, I'm sure. There's a lot of people who are going to say this too. Well, look at the 2026 draft. Look who's coming out. Look at Lenora Sellers down in South Carolina, Drew Aller. Look at these guys. Carson Beck down in Miami again. Like, hey, man, you know, Arch Manning may be coming out. You don't know how the hell those guys are going to be this year. You don't know how that's going to look. You don't know if you're even going to be in position to draft one of them. Take the one. If you believe it, do it. Mike believed it. I would have believed it too. I would have taken.
That was our conversation with Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst from yesterday. We will take your reaction to that. And we will be right back, DVD, D-Base, Fingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I guess the question here is, the past 5 years, the Tennessee Titans have not done well with the quarterback position. You know, Malik Willis did not work out, no offense. Doesn't appear that Will Levis is working out. You draft Cam Ward, who, you know, played at a bunch of schools, got a lot of reps in college, but now you have to start him week one, or it feels like you have to start him week one. Is that what you want to do if you're a below-average franchise with a developmental quarterback?
I don't like it. I would like for him to just watch the game from the sidelines, understand how the starter prepares for a game, all of those things. It's just different than college. The speed is different. Terminology is different. The athletes are different. I think observe a game or two or three. You're not going to win your division. And now he does has he's got Tyler Lockett and he's got Calvin Ridley. So he's got some guys that he can throw the ball to. But I would like to ease him in on a bad team. You know, the NFL is littered with quarterbacks who played for bad teams and picked up bad habits. You know, I thought Tim Couch went to the Cleveland Browns, and I thought, you know, at the time that was maybe a prototypical NFL quarterback, and he didn't have a successful career. If he went to another team, maybe an established coach or offense or some other players, then maybe. But I just think, I go back, you know, when you're seeing quarterbacks and they go to a bad team, you're going to a bad team for a reason. They don't have a good quarterback, and now you're asked to be a savior.
That was Dan Patrick and friends discussing the Titans quarterback situation.
It's good to hear Dan.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot about this. Jared has talked about this quite a bit, about how if it were up to Jared, he would keep Cam Ward on the bench for at least the first 2 weeks of the season. He would not have Cam Ward start at Denver against that menacing defense. He would not have Cam Ward start against the LA Rams, who have some firepower up front, and reevaluate after week three, maybe allow Cam Ward to make his NFL debut in week three, I believe, at home against the Indianapolis Colts. So my question for the both of you is, how much benefit do you think there actually would be for Cam Ward to start the season on the bench? I don't anticipate Cam Ward starting the season on the bench. I am pro Cam Ward getting out there in week one. But how much benefit, Willie, do you think there would actually be for Cam Ward to start the season on the bench?
I think I heard in Dan Patrick's opinion there a philosophical one. It wasn't really specific to Cam Ward, but from afar, I think it's an age-old debate, one that it doesn't seem like it happens these days. There's a desperation. And I think if you look at some of these teams that are in the vortex of a rebuild in hockey, part of the thing that goes wrong with a full-scale rebuild is you get these super high picks and they're thrown in. There's a feeling like, well, we picked him third in the draft. Let's get him in there. Let's throw him in there. And that elongates the rebuild. It makes it harder because those kids are not ready. They're not surrounded by enough talent to win. So I don't think we should just brush aside the argument. There is a lot of merit to that argument. So the benefit, I think it goes without saying, is that you're not putting him in harm's way right out the start. Let's not forget, before you just say, he's going to start week one, who are we kidding? Vince Young sat for, what, 4 or 5 games, and the Titans were not going to put him in. They did not think he was ready. And Bud Adams said, he's ready, put him in. And they were like, he's ready, put him in. And he won the Rookie of the Year. So it's hard to know, but I don't know how much those 4 or 5 weeks of not having any pressure on him helped him. Now, as we know, he didn't continue to develop the way we all thought or hoped that he would, and it was pretty well documented what was happening, why that didn't happen. Cam Ward seems to be a guy that is going to do everything he can to be as prepared as you possibly can to be ready on day one. So it does depend on the person, right?
The thing is, Derek, depending on which side of this debate you are on. You can find an example of a quarterback to suit your argument. Jaden Daniels started immediately. That worked. Josh Allen did not start immediately. That worked. I mean, there are examples across the board of quarterbacks who succeeded starting immediately and those who didn't. And the same thing for quarterbacks who did not start immediately. So, Derek, same question. How much benefit would there be for Cam Ward to start the season on the bench?
Every situation isn't the same, and every team isn't the same. Some teams, even though they may draft a quarterback first overall, their talent may have talent there and could have been injuries that sort of derailed their season. It could have been they had young guys last year and they were developing, and this year, you know, we hope and we see that, you know, we're going to have a much better team, but we're still in a position where we can get a quarterback in a top pick or within the first three picks. So to me, if the kid is ready to play, you throw him out there. I'm not one, oh, let's hold him out because you got the Denver Broncos and the Chargers. I think Chargers and
Rams.
Rams
at home.
In Denver, first two games of the season. And Denver's got this hell of a defense, and Rams got it. So let's save him. Let's protect him from that. You ain't protecting nobody. He going to have to face the defense. When he comes into the game, once during the season, he's going to have to face a damn good defense. He's going to see adversity. To try to shield him from that adversity, you're not doing him any favors. So if the kid – and all of this is predicated on whether the kid is ready or not. If you see that he's ready and you believe that you've done enough around him, more importantly on the offensive line, to protect him first and foremost, to protect him, then throw him out here. I know some people are scared right now that the Titans are going to damage Cam Ward. I get it, because they've seen other quarterbacks get damaged.
Right.
You know,
that's
so I get it.
It's a fear.
Yeah, it's
a lack
just a fear.
Of trust.
Exactly.
In what they will be able to do to help him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I get that part. But if the kid's ready, if I'm running an organization, the kid shows me he's ready, throw him out there. He may have a bad game. He may throw an interception. I want to see what he's made of right now. I don't want to, you know, sit him down just for the sake of sitting him down, even though he's proven he can play. I don't want to sit him down and try to shield him from something. Man, the kid got to, just like everybody else out there on that field, you got to show your worth immediately. You got to show your worth sooner or later. And those guys on the field, those other 10 guys on offense, when people start to say, well, hold him back, they really know if he can play or not. And if he's shown them that he can play, then I'm not going to hold him back and make these other 10 guys suffer. Oh, we just going to hold him back. And everybody in the locker room looking like, he's the guy. What are y'all doing?
Could anything he does, either at practice or you know, we make too much of what happens in the preseason games. But in the key practices, if he looks like he's struggling, could that change your opinion?
I think it can, but I also have to understand that he's a rookie and he's still developing. You know, I want to see development. He may play against, you know, they have the two crossover, so to speak, practices where they're practicing another team. He may do bad in a period, but then he may come back and have a really good period the next period. I think you're going to see the ebbs and flows of a young quarterback. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, he's not ready to go. I just want to see how he matures and how he develops as we go, as we press through camp, get into the preseason games, and then I think you will understand and find out whether he's ready or not. Now, if it's blatantly, you know, evident to everybody that he's not ready and y'all still put him out there, then shame on you, Tennessee. But if he's doing the things, if he's on schedule or ahead of schedule, you can't fool the players, okay? As much as, you know, radio talk show hosts say he should sit, or, you know, prominent, you know, radio show talk hosts say, yeah, the rookie should sit, those other guys on that team, those other 50-something players, they know. And if he's showing and he ain't starting, you're going to have a mutiny pretty soon. So throw him out there. Let him – trial by error. It's going to have to one. It's going to have to happen one sooner or later. So if he's proven to you that he's ready to play, throw him out there. He may have a bad game, but then again, he may have a good game.
And if Titans fans have learned anything, remember Will Levis's debut,
Marcus Mariota's
remember
debut.
Marcus Mariota's debut. They were outstanding debuts, and how did that turn out? So maybe it might be good for Cam Ward to struggle a little bit in week one. I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I'm just trying to ease your minds. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the week by taking it to the bank next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. It is the end of the week, which means it's time to take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. At F&M Bank, their mission is to make lives better by making banking easier. And this will be a little bit more fun when there's more sports going on. We are, how far away are we from college football? I don't remember what the countdown is for the Big Joe show.
Remember, we heard the impassioned speech by Brian Callahan as of what?
47 days. It's 46 now.
Like six-ish weeks. About 6 weeks, because the college will start a week earlier. Okay. We'll have some high school here coming up.
And by the way, I hate. What is it?
Week zero.
Yes. I hate week zero. Yeah. It's week one. A college team is playing. Okay. Week one. It ain't week zero. What you saying? Those college teams don't mean nothing? I guess that's really what you're saying.
And what about the game in Ireland? Is that like week negative one? Isn't that, that's always like the first game, right? When they're, it seems like that's even before week zero, it seems like.
How about we pick the winner of the Hall of Fame game between the Chargers and Lions next Thursday, July 31st?
This is the annual thing. Like, hey, if you're
football's back,
if you're feeling it, and you want to put a wager on that game,
you might
need to look yourself in the mirror.
Detroit is a -1 favorite.
They have a line.
You may have a problem.
You might have a problem.
The total
if
is
your notifications are hitting you up and like, hey, have you got your bet in yet for the Hall of Fame? You might be a target.
Give me the Lions, exactly. David. Yeah. Give me the Lions.
Oh, you might be the favorite customer of your preferred site.
Okay.
We love this guy. He's already got the bet in for the Hall of Fame game. We just
this
take
is
all
our
his kind
money.
Of guy.
I'm taking the Lions. Give me the Lions.
You're taking the Lions. Okay, are we all going to do the Hall of Fame game?
I'm not doing the Hall of Fame.
I'm not doing it either. Okay, I am going to the WNBA, which is tonight. The Phoenix Mercury play the New York Liberty. I am going with the Mercury to win this game by, what is the line on? I can see what the line. Oh, it's
it's on there somewhere.
Yeah, it's on here. They got Phoenix +5. I'm gonna take the points. No, I'm not gonna take the points. They're gonna win flat out. Phoenix gonna win flat out.
Okay,
not
really
taking points.
There have been a couple of trades in Major League Baseball. Their trade deadline is coming up, and it's Thursday, I believe. Is that right? 31st.
I'm not sure.
During the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. The Yankees just traded for Ryan McMahon, a third baseman. So the number one guy on the market that everybody kind of knows is going to be traded is a guy named Eugenio Suarez. He's hit a ton of home runs this year. He is the coveted piece. I will say he will be traded by Monday. Now that McMahon, who plays the same position, has been dealt, I think people are going to go flying in, and the Diamondbacks will get the right offer for Suarez, so I'll put that in there. Mm. By Monday, he will be traded.
Okay, David.
And I will say that the Red Sox at Fenway, with the Dodgers coming to town, that will be a nice featured series, couple of big markets, rematch of the 2018 World Series. I will say the Red Sox will take 2 of 3.
Can I get another one, please?
Why not?
The series.
You take 4 or 5 during the season.
We had to close those loopholes last time.
We had to make rule changes. Can I get one more in? Well, yeah. How about getting 5 more in? That's what you usually do.
Well, you had 2. I only have 1.
I know. I came in with 2.
The rules have changed.
I thought we were picking 1.
The antennae went up, Derek. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I got more picks.
These don't count.
I'm I'm hoping they count. I'm saying they're going to count. All right.
They count in your heart.
Are they playing a series? No, this is just a one-off. This is not a series. I got the Tigers over the Blue Jays.
They need to get it in gear. The Tigers were sailing along,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they've hit the skids.
Yeah,
they're
them
struggling.
And the Blue
they
Jays are right there.
And the Blue Jays have moved up. The mm-hmm. Blue Jays are doing very, very well. So
actually, they're ahead of the Tigers right now by game.
That could be a future playoff match. Mm-hmm. They're not in the same division, obviously, but they are both having very good years. But they're right now, Blue Jays are hot, Tigers are not.
So I'm going with the Tigers.
All right. David, got anything for us?
Well, so last week I, you know, said the Cardinals would win their series. They unfortunately did not. So they got swept. But they won last night, and they're going to win two more. They're going to win 3 out of 4 against the Padres. Book it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, all right. Book it, Tom. A little plaz. All right. Plazmania there.
Yeah, I see. I feel
you. I listen to him a little too much here lately.
That is true. So, I do want to make Willie and Derek and David a promise. I don't know if I'm going to keep it, but I'm going to make the promise. So I am on vacation next week. I promise that I won't send you story ideas and topic ideas next week. I will be listening when I can. I'll probably hit up some of the podcasts. Don't know if I'll be able to listen live, but I will be listening. As Derek said on Monday when he wasn't with us last week, it feels weird that the show goes on without me. But, hey, we all need a little break. So I promise I won't send you any topic ideas all week long.
I'll
leave you alone.
How do we feel about that, D-Mace? Because as much as we kid Adam, we're like, hey, that's a good idea. Let's use that.
Hey, we kind of actually like it.
I will. If you come to me, I'll help you. But I won't come to
no,
you.
No, we will not come to you.
Yes,
okay. That would be an infringement of your
you
right.
You have to want to do it yourself.
Go off the grid.
Yes. You have to want to do it yourself.
But if you feel the need, if you feel the moment,
if you feel like doodling, just doodle to us something you know you want us to talk about. You would like for us to talk about.
I don't think we should talk about doodles. Doodles are in the news right now.
Yes, not in the right way.
People are getting in trouble for doodles right now, so I'm not going to be doing that. But
oh well.
Yankee doodles. Well, it was good knowing you guys.
Yankee doodles. Yankee doodles, dandy. Okay.
Oh man. But yes, I will. I will attempt to. Unplug as much as I can.
Don't attempt too hard.
I am not looking forward. So we're going to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. We're doing the drive in 2 days. We're doing the first part tomorrow, the second part on Sunday. I hate long car rides. I absolutely hate long car rides. So I'll have to get through it somehow. I'm not looking forward to it. The car ride. I'm looking forward to the trip, but I hate long car rides.
You know what's going
to
make it bad? Why you're going to want to text us?
Hmm.
Because your internet is going to be spotty and you're not going to be able to, like, I want to know what's going on. So you're going to try by any means to contact us because you're not going to have service for a period of time.
I don't know if they have carrier pigeons in the Outer Banks, but maybe I'll find one to send you guys a note.
There's a good chance they might.
Who knows if it will get here. But nevertheless, that'll do it for us this week. I leave you in the more than capable hands of Willie and Derek next week as I am on vacation. I will miss all of you, including you, Richard from Smyrna, who didn't know my name yesterday. Hopefully you'll learn it in the week that I'm gone.
OG,
other guy. The other guy.
Yes. But that'll do it for us this week. We hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Willie and Derek will be with you, and David, at 11 a.m. on Monday.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. And we love you from DVD, or should I say DV, or D. The
D-D-T.
Other guy.
DDT.
No. But have a wonderful weekend. We love you. Peace.